الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before getting on with our subject, one, we should all make dua. There are riots and fire getting on in Sri Lanka, in which the poor Muslim people, their houses, shops are being set alight, etc. And in the month of Ramadan, so we should make a lot of dua for all the Muslims everywhere and for the whole world. Make hidayat for all, for the whole of mankind, for jinnat also. And we can make dua for the destruction of the people who are causing this harm, but perhaps it is more better to make dua, Allah give them hidayat, and then they also come into the fold of Islam and protect Islam and Muslims. And this has happened. The Tatars, they came, they invaded Iraq, etc. But mashallah, they became the great champions of Islam. So like that, we should make a lot of dua. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went out on his mission to take the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah made him such a great person, and how he served the deen of Islam. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many other examples. So we should make dua for everywhere, whether it is Saudi also, whether it is Pakistan, everywhere make dua that Allah uses us all for promoting his deen, and to that the true deen becomes alive. Another very important thing, just a little bit more elaboration, what we heard now in the kitab, and also which is unfortunately becoming more common in our community, in our society, that is like embracing on Eid's day the mother, the daughter with the son, etc., sons-in-law, daughters-in-law. This is not our tariqah in the first place. So much so that Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he lived with his son and daughter-in-law in the same house. But it is said that if after how many years they lived together, if his daughter-in-law was in a group of other ladies, he won't be able to identify her, that she is my daughter-in-law, and he didn't know her. He kept his gazes low all the time. So like that, it is Islamic etiquette and adab on these are very, very important, and we seem to have totally violated them. And because of that, a lot of other problems have come into our lives. So if, as we read in the kitab, if the son makes mu'anaqa with his mother-in-law, or his own mother also, or with his sister, and if any feeling of just any desire comes and the skin's touch, then it is the marriages become annulled. In no way can they be repaired again and put right again. So this is a very, very important and a very delicate thing. And one time Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was here in Azadwell. The host where he was brought his small little daughters, perhaps 2 years, 3 years old. And they, as usual, we teach them also, give your hand, make salam. He didn't touch the hand. He put his hand on top of the head on the orni. And he said that Abbaji, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, this is the salam of little girls. That even so small girls, you don't touch their hand also. And today this is gone out. And now that I'm speaking, who are people who are here, they think this is now speaking against like being polite and having etiquette and good character in the house. But Islamic tariqah, this is not our tariqah at all, and it is extremely dangerous, and we should avoid it at all costs. Totally, it should be avoided. And especially now on Eid occasion, other occasions, what we are hearing, and hopefully we are hearing wrong or it's being exaggerated, but this is becoming very, very common, and with good people, with people who are five-time namazis, observant of deen, etc., but they will kiss their daughter, for example, just on the forehead, and that, what you call it, if it is done and a little desire comes. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, gives a very beautiful example of this. He says that when the electricity department is going to work on, in your area, and they switch off the lights. They usually, or they're supposed to do, they send a card, a notice out that from this time to this time there won't be lights. But they write a warning also, but the wires must be treated as live. Because any time in between, or they finish their work earlier, then they will switch it on. So don't treat the wires as you think that there is no current, and I just wanted to do this little repairs on this little my iron or something else, and you start working with the wires and suddenly the current comes. Just like that, Shaitan is that enemy that you may be very safe. This is only my sister. This is my mother. You can't imagine anything evil between a son and his mother or mother-in-law, etc. But when Shaitan just puts that little current, it just comes. And you get a shock yourself. Sometimes people, if we take notice, a person that you knew and just friendly, normal, but sometimes suddenly just the desire comes for that person. So Shaitan works in his way and nafs is working overtime, all the time. So this is a very dangerous thing. Allah give us tawfiq and protect us from all these anti-Islamic things. And first of all, it is not Islamic. It is an alien thing. In Islamic society, this does not exist at all. And then, when the consequences are so grave and so terrible, so we have to be very, very careful of this matter. With regard to Kutiba Alaykum As-Siyam, we were discussing, that the rozas have been made for us. On the eyes also, not to look at any haram. On the tongue also, and we spoke 2-3 days about controlling the tongue. And then the ears also. There is roza of the ears also. And all these rozas, or fast that we have to keep, is just like the roza that we are keeping. That during the day, you are not allowed to eat, to drink, you are married with your wife, you shouldn't become so close, etc. And there also, when very important thing with the wife also, kissing is allowed, but if that kiss is going to make you go, build up your desires more, then that also should be avoided. Embracing is also allowed, but if that embracing also will take you further. And in kissing, if you put your tongue in your wife's mouth, she puts her tongue in your mouth, and the saliva goes, your saliva into her mouth, her saliva into your mouth, that is also, ulama have written, kafara becomes wajib on that. 60 rozas we have to keep. So we have to, Allah give us tawfiq, to learn these masail also, and to follow them correctly, and take our precaution. Anyway, roza is that we abstain for a little while during the day. And if we do this for the 30 days, Allah will give that tawfiq, that we will have the build that ability, which we call taqwa. That whole year, whole life, we'll be able to stay away from haram. Just stay away from the permissible things, and with keeping the roza properly, and the whole life, whole year, whole life, Allah will give the tawfiq of staying away from haram. And on that basis is what is called the khanqah, what is called islah, what is called tazkiyah. That while we are in this process, we should be giving up a lot of things which are permissible. But it is for that period. For that 40-day period, for example. And if we did it properly in that, then that quality, that taqwa will be built, which is a quality in a person, that whole life we will stay away from haram. So it is a very cheap, soda transaction. That for a little while, stay away from permissible things also. You'll have built that ability by which you'll be able to stay away from haram always. So Allah give us tawfiq, we spend our Ramadan, and we are joining the two. Ramadan, which is for this purpose for everyone. People who are just normally going to their shops and businesses, professions, offices, everything. But if they also observe the roza properly, they will also. And we have come here where the object is islah also. And we are keeping our rozas also. And all the programs are set out in order to bring this within us also. Quran Sharif. And Allah Ta'ala, we hear the whole, mashallah, the whole beautiful Quran Sharif in the Taraweeh, and then we listen to the summary of it, And a lot of very important points are brought out, all, and then about namaz, all, everything, fasting, all this is being done. If we take reasonable heed, inshallah, our Ramadan will go properly, and we will see that after Ramadan, it will not only be easy, but it will become enjoyable to stay away from haram. And not only from haram, from all undesired things. We will be happy that I'm staying away. Sports, for example, holidays, for example, which are not Islamic, and which are very harmful also. And we couldn't stay without it. Just spend our Ramadans properly, spend time with our mashayikh, spend time in a khanqah properly, and then we will see that actually the hatred for these things will come in our lives. What we used to enjoy and we couldn't stay away from, Allah Ta'ala will put the dislike of these things into our, then actual haram things, Allah will save us and protect us from that also. So Allah give us tawfiq. Anyway, with regard to the ear also, the first thing we should see that the ear has to do with hearing. And it isn't the piece of flesh and the bones which are inside which do hearing. It is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise the ear, if we just take it like that, what can it hear? It can't hear. It is the qudrat of Allah. We should see the great qudrat of Allah, Allahu Akbar. We can't imagine. And this is also an occasion to gain one very important aspect of our Islah, our connecting with Allah, the marifat of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala has made the ears and made them such that they can hear. Allah made the tongue and speech is by Allah. Allah made the eyes and looking is by the command of Allah. It is not the eye. For example, a person, he's got perfect vision. And what happens? That now the ruh goes out of him. He's now a dead person. His eyes are still perfect. So now why can't he see? If the eyes were looking, the eyes are still there. Just the ruh. And what is the ruh? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, what is the ruh? قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Ruh is the command of Allah. It's one of the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. So when Allah took out this command of life, of the ruh, which is in the body, the eyes are still right. And this very eyes can be grafted into another person whose eyes we couldn't see. And there, the same eyes, yeah, in this body they couldn't see. But in that body they will start looking again. So it is not the eyes that are looking, that person has still got the command of Allah in him. He's got ruh, so he can see. The heart, it is pumping and you die. It wasn't the heart that was keeping you alive, it was that command of Allah. That ruh which Allah put, which is a command of Allah. And we find that heart transplants also take place. Usually bypasses and other things take place, but sometimes they do a heart transplant also. So this person who has died, they take out his heart. The masala is something else that we should find out. This is only an example. Sometimes we give some examples, and some of us we think that according to that example, we also in favor of that. We are not saying that heart transplant is permissible, or that transplant an eye is permissible. These are just examples we are giving. So this heart can be transplanted into another person, and in that person, it starts pumping, working again. So it's the command of Allah Ta'ala. So the ear also, and that Allah could create something, an abstract thing like hearing. Hearing, we can't touch it, we can't feel it, we can't see it, but Allah has created, and we all know there is a thing like hearing. We are all hearing. I'm hearing my own voice also. All are hearing all the time. So this hearing also, from that also understand, and wow, what a great qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then many of us, we ask also how to gain the love of Allah Ta'ala. Just think of any one of the ni'mets of Allah, and innumerable ni'mets of Allah. Ni'met of the eye, ni'met of speech, ni'met of hearing. What a great ni'met. So if you think any person who gave you something who helped you out, did you a great favor, automatically you love that person. And automatically you are obedient to that person. You want to do everything what he says. You go out of your way for him. Allah who has done everything for us. And it's not our birthright. that when we were born, that it was Allah's farz that He had to give us eyes, He had to give us ears, if to give us birth also, it wasn't Allah's farz. If Allah didn't want to create us, He wouldn't have, and that He created us, it was His full right that He creates us without eyes, without a tongue, without speech, without ears, without brain. Allah could have done all that. But Allah, it is a gift, it's not our right. It is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And a gift is always what a person, for your right, you fight for your right. But what is a gift, you can't fight for it. If the person wants to give it, he gives it. So this is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. So first see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And that Allah gifted me. Perhaps all of us are sitting here, we got our ears and we can hear properly. But ask ourselves again, when did we make dua to Allah? When did we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala? When we feel a little impediment, little I'm not hearing properly, then perhaps we start with some duas, hopefully. Otherwise, normally that also, we will go to the ENT, we will go for some other treatment, we'll ask other people, we'll go and Google that what is the matter here, but to make connection with Allah, that is also seldom. And those that do make, we should make shukr, that we ask Allah, that you help us. So this ear is the great qudrat of Allah also, it is a great ni'mat also of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it isn't just that everyone has got ears. Some people perhaps don't even have the ear, the formation, but they're still hearing. And some people have got the ear, but hearing is not there. It is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. So we should make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Thirdly, this, like every other ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, is an amanat also. As our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explains, that with regard to this ayah, what is ayat? Khainin. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. And where is khiyanat? Where there is an amanat. A person makes khiyanat in an amanat. So Allah knows the khiyanat of the eyes, which means this eye is an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. Like that, the ear is also an amanat from Allah Ta'ala. It is a great qudrat of Allah, it is a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and it is an amanat also. And with regard to amanat, a person will be questioned. Wherever a person is in charge of amanat, anywhere, usually the treasurer, or the person, the accountant, whoever it is, then he is answerable also. And on Qiyamah Day, every last cent of ours, where did we earn it? That also we will have to answer. Where did we spend it? That also we will have to answer. And consequently, every other ni'mat of Allah. And Allah is that being, that the hisab, kitab, accountability also, Allah says it is yaseera also, very easy on Allah, and Allah will do it very quickly also. The full details of it, every person, his legs won't be able to move on the day of Qiyamah until he does not answer the five questions. No lawyer, no interpreter will be there, you and Allah. And Allah will know everything of yours. So every glance of ours we are going to be questioned. Every, with regard to the ears, what we had heard, that also, the eyes, Allah still has made it such that if you don't want to see something, you just lower your eyelids. And for that, you don't have to press a button, nothing. It's almost spontaneous. The wind starts blowing a bit stronger, you don't want dust in your eyes, automatically you just pull the shutters down. And what shutters Allah gave us, and what control of the shutters Allah gave. But the ears haven't got a shutter. Allah left that open, any sound. And if we look at the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala with regard to the ear, and we turn our head on the side like this, we will see it is exactly like a funnel. Our funnel has got a big portion and then a small pipe. So if you want to put something in a small bottle, and from another bottle or something, if you don't use a funnel, most probably you'll mess a lot. But you put a funnel, it will go. So the ear also, Allah made it that from 360 degrees, it catches all the sounds. And then through the funnel, it passes it in now. And then the whole procedure, all the system here, what is working, the little bones which are there, how they respond and how the message goes to the brain and how the brain makes out what the sound is. That now you are hearing Adhan. Now you are hearing Quran Sharif. How the, wow, it's a whole procedure. And this one thing is enough. Not only, you can't resolve it, you will remain baffled your whole life. And it is not only the ear, how many parts of the body, how the liver is functioning, how the kidneys are functioning, how the lungs are functioning, how the heart, the eye, the brain, Allahu Akbar. Who is Allah Ta'ala? And Allah created not one human being, 250,000 a day Allah Ta'ala brings into the world. And everyone has got all this ears, have got all this eyes. What is the great qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So the ear, like every other ni'mat of Allah, is a great qudrat of Allah. It is a great ni'mat and a great favor and gift from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then it is an amanat also. And we will be questioned everything also, what we had listened to. So when it's not in our control, the ear sound, what are you paying attention to? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking and the sound of music came. So he put his fingers to block the music. And then he asked his khadim or who was with him, that is the sound still coming? And then afterwards when he told him the sound is not coming, he took out his fingers. And then he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did exactly the same also. So, and on the other hand, it must not happen that, yeah, we see, we are taught that when we hear something wrong, we must block the ears. But we go and listen more. And this happens, two people are talking, and we also go and pry, and we also want to hear. We go in close, we want to pay, we are eavesdropping, and we want to find out what they're talking about. This is not permissible at all. This is also using the ears wrongly. We have to block it from listening to wrong, but here we are using it to do wrong. We should block it from all wrong. We don't do that. When we use it to go and do wrong, to go and listen to what some other people are talking, etc., this is not permissible. The secrets between people, and when there are two people talking, then the third one, he should not be excluded from the talk. That is also the etiquette. But if they are talking privately, he should not go and listen also. And the talking also, even if they are whispering, or if they are talking a language he doesn't understand, that should also not be. Then he'll also feel that they're talking about me perhaps. I don't understand their language and they are talking about me. So anyway, this hearing is also a great, great amanat of Allah Ta'ala, and we have to learn to hear also just the right things. And today our hearing has become with our eyes also. We are hearing with our eyes. On the cell phone, what all gossips people used to make, now you are reading it with your eyes, you are reading all that gossip and everything. All the wrong things that we are doing were with our eyes, which was the work of the ears. With the fingers, we are doing the work of the tongue. We should talk to somebody, but now we are just typing it in here all the time. So the fingers are doing the work of the eyes, and the eyes are doing the work of the ears. So we should be careful, all these things, and Allah knows it all. Allah ya'lamu khainat al-a'yun wa ma tukhfi al-sudur. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says so beautifully, meri nazar par unki nazar paas baati. On my eyes, Allah's eyes were watching my eyes. And me, I'm feeling I'm watching everyone. I'm a God. I'm watching everyone, but I must realize Allah's eyes are on me also. Afsos, is khabar te, me be khabar tha. What a pity, I thought I'm watching everyone, but I did not realize Allah is watching me. Today you got your whole business on your phone. You got your whole bed, your whole house on your phone. And wherever you are in the world, you can see what is happening. But what we don't realize, that my eyes are also being watched. That where am I looking, etc. My tongue is being watched, what I'm speaking. And my ears are being watched, what I'm listening to. This ears, And this, things that we have to save, it is not permissible to backbite, which we all know is haram. Equally guilty is the person who listens to backbiting. And in fact, if there is nobody to listen, nobody can do backbiting. If a person, if all walk away, which is the command, when the people are backbiting, then stop that person. That this what you are saying is wrong. You are backbiting. And you shouldn't be saying. If he doesn't stop, then you should get up and go away from there. But today we find our iman has reached such a low ebb that we just can't get up just to walk away. It is somebody, he's not going to hit you, he's not going to force you to hear or anything, but we haven't got that courage. And we feel we will hurt his feelings. And we hurt the feelings of Allah, that is tolerable. That we will do against the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is also tolerable. But I can't hurt his feelings. We go to a social function, a wedding, anywhere. And afterwards we say, this wrong took place, that wrong took place. And that is also, it could easily be falling just in ghibat, in backbiting. And when we were there, you say, I didn't want to say anything, I'll cause a commotion, I'll cause trouble. And I didn't want to go away, because then I'll break family ties. But family ties are supposed to be broken when there is haram taking place. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to quote very often that لا يجوز الحضور عند المحزور. To be present where haram is taking place is not permissible. So when they end, our Shaykh and our Akabir, Allahu Akbar, what qualities they had. It was most probably Maulana Rashid Ahmed, Mufti Rashid Ahmed Ludhianvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was invited to a wedding, nikah, and he made clear, no music. They said no music. No photography, no photography, no mixing of the males and females, all, everything he made clear. What time must I come, make the nikah, it's everything. And they had experience because they knew these things happen. And they were very particular about the laws of Allah. And it was a little distant place also. So when he went there, all the wrong things were taking place. And he turned around, the host said, Hazrat, it will, our izzat will go. That everyone know you coming, you going to perform the nikah, and if you go away now, then he say, what have I got to do with your izzat? The laws of Allah Ta'ala. This I'm saying, so I can also make myself strong. All of us can make ourselves strong. He said, I can't. He insisted. But Maulana, it was determined. And the person who brought him either came and dropped him only. There was no transport back. On his own, he made his transport, whatever he could do. And with difficulty, he got away from there. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali also, one place where they were having a little meal, they invited Hazrat, and something wrong they started. He got up and he walked away. So this Allah gives us that today we all, and if today, unfortunately, we are such also, that if one alim, for example, had to walk away, any other person, and somebody come and tell us, we will also say, he shouldn't have done that. There was all that gathering, and all the people were present, and in front of all them, he shouldn't have done that. And the least is in our heart we will feel, how could he do such a thing? He shouldn't have done that. Society has got more value in our eyes than the Sharia, than the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when anyone stands up for Sharia, we will go against him. But we will. Society is our bigger God. We say Allahu Akbar how many times in one rakat of namaz. But society is a bigger God in our heart. Our family is a bigger God. So anyway, this ears listening to all haram music. And today, very, very sadly, good people, in every aspect, good people, the ringtone on the phone is a musical tone. And when a person listens to music, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that music creates, makes nifaq, hypocrisy come in the heart. And more faster than a plant that grows in the desert. This is a plant, in the deserts usually it rains seldom. When it rains, in 24 hours or 12 hours, that plant grows up to 3 meters high. Our roofs of our houses are more or less about 2.5 meters or something. But 3 meters it grows in that short space. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that by music, hypocrisy comes in the heart more faster than that also. And that a person is listening all the time on his ringtone. It's a musical tone. Every time it's ringing, he's listening to music. Which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully. He said like a fly that comes on the food and takes a little bit and flies and goes away with that food. Every time it takes a little. Very soon it will have taken so much food that it can open a hotel. It can open a restaurant, so much it has taken already. And it carries on taking, soon it will open a motel. The fly will go and open up a hotel, so much. So this music, little bit, we think it's nothing. And today, Allah, forgive us, the reality, Allah knows, but we have become so desensitized. It means nothing to our iman. We are listening to music, it's just it's normal, it's nothing. And to such proportions and such levels this reaches. Once in Masjid an-Nabawi, Masjid of Rasulullah Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a silent namaz, Asr or Zuhar, and a person with his phone was near the Imam. And those mics are so powerful. They're so powerful that with the tajweed, the fine rules of tajweed also, it goes through with that mic. It picks up all that proper pronunciation of majhool, ma'roof, everything. Those mics are such. But anyway, this person was near and his phone rang during namaz in a musical tone. And the imam's mic picked it up, and on all the mics in the masjid, outside the masjid, in namaz, in Ramadan, music is playing. People People scream, there are those people. What is happening in Masjid an-Nabawi from the Imam's mic and music playing everywhere? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam resting just there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, one of my missions of coming in the world is to break musical instruments. And here, right in his masjid, and right in front of the Rosa Mubarak also. And right on the mic, this musical tone. So this is also a thing which is the ears, the usage of the ears, and that is also very, very important. We have to think that how to use this ears. So listening to music also, and we are hearing, and many of us, Allah make maaf, some people cry also. They say when we were young, we were into music so much. And now when we're just walking somewhere and one of that old tunes come, it just puts us again into that mood. And we just want to listen again. So Allah protect us, protect our children. The mistakes we made, don't let our children repeat those mistakes. And don't let the children tell us, you people also did it, we must also do it. If we went and eat stool, Allah protect us. So what must now, because we ate, must allow our children also to eat. No, we explain to them it is wrong. And this music is, it has been narrated also, al-ghina, ruhiyatu zina. That music is the stepping stone towards adultery, fornication. It arouses that passions in a person. And this is what shaitan uses. In order to arouse the feelings of people, it is with music. And therefore, you find in all these evil places, there will be all this music. And music, all types of music, soft music, hard music, in order to make people atheists and take them far from deen, they use this hard, hard music. Which if a person goes past with a car, and you hear it for, or the car next to you sometimes, and that hard music is on, that you can't tolerate it for that little while, they spend the whole night in it. Which dulls their brains completely. And then all Satanism comes in there. And all the evil comes in there. People sleep with the earphones in their ears. And whole night they listening to music, etc. Then all this evil desires come. So this ears, listening to all this music. Listening to bagpipe, using our tongue is haram. To listen to bagpiping is also equally haram. And these are those things that when a person speaks, or then a terrible stench and smell comes out. We don't get it because we also, our iman is desensitized. We don't feel it. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they backbited in fasting, the actual effect was that pieces of blood, pieces of meat came out. When they listened to all this haram, backbiting, lying, actually that smell came. One time a terrible smell came in Madinatul Munawwara. People all, like sometimes our sewage down here, it's something not functioning properly, and that whole smell comes there. So that terrible smell, people ask Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there is all this guna that we are committing, that the smell has come. So we don't feel it, but it is there, definitely it is there. Like for example, on one occasion, there was a kill, lions had killed a giraffe. And after that, the body just lies there now. Other animals all come and eat. Eagles, vultures, etc. also came and eat. And there was a terrible smell that was coming from that giraffe after 3 days now. The terrible smell that comes. But for those vultures, it was like the smell of biryani. How they were sitting and enjoying it. Like that, when we backbite, when we gossip, we slander people, rumor mongering, we enjoying it. And backbiting, sometimes we rolling on our stomachs, holding our stomachs with laughter, and we enjoying it. Whereas to the malaika, and the reality of it is that the terrible stench is coming out, and the terrible effect, just like لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورُ إِلَيْهِ, that a person who is looking at haram, Allah's lanat is coming on that person. But that person, what enjoyment he's getting. So how, and if a person had iman, then this can never happen. So it is important that we build our iman. In one hadith it is also mentioned that music causes nifaq to come into the heart. And dhikr causes iman to come into the heart. So if we make our dhikr, iman will come. And iman is that power also that will save us from haram things. When we have got iman, one alim said, yeah, he said it, that iman which could not save us from haram in this world, how is that iman going to save us from the fire of Jahannam in Akhirah? So iman is supposed to be that power. When the war of between the British and the Muslims, the Indians, to get rid of the British from India, when that war was carrying on, and how ulama had given their lives, and what part they took in this. In the process, they had captured one alim with his young son, perhaps 8-10 years young boy. And this alim knew all the secrets of the Muslims, how they operate and everything. And they knew he knows it. So they wanted it from him. And their normal procedure was first that with bribery, that we'll do this for you, this, you tell us all the secrets. When that does not work, then with torture. They started torturing, and he saw, now they're going to torture me, they will torture my son also. So he told them, I'll tell you all the secrets, but on condition you kill my son and you kill him in front of my eyes. Because he will go and speak back and he will tell them, he'll tell the Muslims, my father gave away the secrets, and they say he was a sellout. Just because he couldn't take that little torture and he gave out our secrets. They fell for it, they killed him in front of his eyes. And after that, he said that you can do now what you want to. You won't get one alphabet out of me. So they asked, why did you have your son killed? He said, he also knew the secret. I will tolerate, but he's a young boy. When you will torture him, probably he will speak out. So just to safeguard. Then that officer who was there in charge, the white man who was from England, he asked him, what made you do this? Your own son you had killed in front of your eyes. He said, iman. That person went mad. He said, iman, iman, iman. What is iman? They had to send him back to England. He went mad. That iman is, for us, iman is not even la ilaha illallah. For iman, Allah make us maaf. It's like a joke for us. That we don't take it seriously. But iman is a reality, and it's the strongest power. What can any nuclear weapon do? What can any armies do? What iman does, and that iman which the Sahaba radil, which the awliya had, this is what we have to develop. Our iman can't keep us away from the music. We tell a good person, 5 times namazi, regular, haji, everything he's doing. But he's got music. And when you tell him, he takes it lightly. See, the children, they just get hold of the phone and they change it. Whereas the children, we don't allow them to get into our phones also. But yeah, anything, you just blame it on anyone. To cover a wrong, we use another wrong again. And we make the things aggravated, make it even worse in this way. So anyway, the ears are also a great amanat. From listening to music, listening to backbiting, rumor mongering, and all this, and whether it is actually we are listening to it, or whether it is on the cell phone, now we're not listening it with the ear, but we are reading it with the eyes now. All this is also, and we have to learn, and during this month, and during our period of our tarbiyat, if a person comes for his islah, and he spends 40 days preferably uninterrupted and properly, and in such a way, that, for example, this one great sheikh, Arab sheikh, Sheikh Khalid Kurdi, rahmatullah alayh. He was a great sheikh, and he was teaching deen, he was a mufti, he used to give bayans, islah of the people, everything he was doing. But he himself realized, I've got all this, but I haven't got that connection with Allah. That's what you call a connection, eh? That you just pick up your hands, like it comes in the Hadith Sharif. When somebody makes dua, the malaika knows who is this. They are so used to it. And somebody makes, he never used to make dua. Then they ask, who is this today who's making dua? So that you got, so to say, that direct connection. So to say, like for example, when the phone rings, and you know this time, it is this uncle who phones. You just know it. And when they knock on the door, you know that this auntie, when she comes, she knocks like in this way. And she comes, you just got it. Like that, your connection with Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So he realized, I still haven't got that connection. I've got deen, I've got knowledge of deen, everything. But that connection with Allah, I haven't got. For that, he went for Hajj. And in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, he was looking for somebody. Those days, and now also, in the Haramain Sharifain, Allah knows best, but it's my conviction that there are always these great, great people there are present, but unfortunately we can't see them. We haven't got the eyes to see them. We just look at them as just like anyone, but they are great, great people. And everywhere Allah has kept these jewels and diamonds of His, they are everywhere Allah has kept. So he was listening in Medina Sharif, he was listening to the talk of one alim, and he felt that alim gave his bayan, that this is what I'm looking for. So he asked the alim permission to say a few words there. So he spoke and he said that he explained what I'm doing, and I've come to find, and this alim that explained this connection with Allah, he was speaking, this is what I'm looking for. And he said, please all make dua that Allah gives me that connection which I'm looking for. Towards the end of his stay, there was a certain great buzurg to whom his heart had taken. And he felt that this is the person that I can. So he asked him, like we all do when we will be going from Medina Sharif to Makkah Sharif, who we got contact with, make dua, I'm going now for Umrah, I'm going for Hajj, I'm going to Baytullah, give me some nasihat. So he asked him. So that buzurg told him, when you go to Makkah Sharif, in whatever condition you see any person, don't object to him in your heart also. That this person is like this, he's like this, or anything, have no objection. Allah Shan, when he enters the Haram Sharif, the first thing he sees, a person with his back to the Kaaba and his legs stretched out. So immediately it came in his heart, he's making this bi-adabi. He's showing disrespect to the Kaaba, he's sitting. That person called him, come here. When he went there, he told him, what did that buzurg in Medina Sharif, what advice he gave you? So he got a shock. So he thought, this is now the place where this is the person that will make my connection. And he gave his hands and he told him, make me bayat. He said, no, your share is in India. And those days India, not now. You just take one plane and you just go. Those days, maybe now about 200 years ago, 250 years ago. But he was determined to make that connection. Allah give me that also. That to have this, then when we, that way it will be, we find for hadith, for small, one masala, people traveled where and where. Today we just, by the way, just a phone call we can't manage to make also. Anyway, after Hajj, he didn't go back home. He went and he find, looking in India, looking, finally till he came to Delhi, where Mirza Jani Jana, where he is Khalifa, Shah Ghulam Ali, the name was something to that, what I remember. It was his Khalifa, and he was in Delhi. And there he went, and there his heart clicked, and then he told him, you want this? No problem. You will get it. You stay with me here for 40 days. He stayed for 40 days, and he told him what to do. And he stopped him from all his other ilmi, all his things, and he gave him specific things to do. In the process, it was also the time of Shah Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali, who was the son of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah, the famous great muhaddith of India. So Shah Abdul Aziz had an Arab came to India for Islam, for Tarbiyat, for Tasawwuf, which this is something very, very different. So he went and meet him. He came to the Khanqah, he sent a message, I came to meet him. Then he sent a message. He said, I'm busy doing my 40 days now, and I'm unable to meet you. I have to do my treatment now, and I can't spoil my treatment. Okay? Just like, for example, a Jamaat, previously they used to say, don't have contact with people at home. Now, there are very few Jamaat that will leave their cell phones also behind. Otherwise, we all the time contacting the whole world. We come here for Khanqah, for our Islah. But our contact is with everyone in the world. This time has to be spent in that way. That you got no contact with no one. Just your Islah between you and your Allah and your nafs, and you're crushing your nafs all the time. If Allah give us that, that is the point why I explained the story of the whole incident of Shah Khalid Kurdi, rahmatullah alayh. So anyway, he spent his time and he told Shah Abdul Aziz, you are a very great alim and I will come myself to meet you. You don't take the trouble to come and meet me after I've spent. Another incident which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written in Fazail Amal also. A Shaykh like this, when he spent his time and the people criticized as much as they could, that now he stopped from giving fatwas, stopped from giving bayans, from everything. But after they spent that 40 days, the one bayan they gave made every person became a wali of Allah. In that one bayan. So this is that we have to also develop and get into us. But we are such slaves of our nafs that we can't give up talking to all the time. We have to be blabbering, talking, etc. We have to be listening also all the time what other people are saying. So Allah Ta'ala give us this tawfiq that as far as the ear is concerned, we use it, don't use it in the wrong ways. Music, backbiting, rumor mongering, slandering, all the wrong things. And there is so much of usage for the ear in good things. Listen to Quran Sharif. What greater thing can there be than Quran Sharif? And listen to the Adhan. Today when Adhan is going, then we sleep. We're just talking with one another. We get caught up. We are talking with somebody while Adhan is going on. But with your phone, then you'll see what attention you'll be paying there. A person is looking at his phone. No matter who is walking past, it doesn't mean anything. But Adhan goes and it means nothing to us. Okay? So that we listen to the Adhan, that what the words of the Adhan, listen to the bayans, listen to Quran Sharif, listen to du'as. Hey, there are so many things that we can listen to. We use the ear for the right thing, and the ear and the eye, our Buzurg said, they are the two roads into the heart. What we're seeing with our eyes, what we're hearing, and what we're speaking, all that goes into the heart. And we all want to build that yaqeen in the heart, the love of Allah Ta'ala. So listen to Quran Sharif, the love of Quran Sharif will come. Listen to good talks of deen, then the reality of deen will come. And also we should listen to it in the with the correct channels, in the correct ways, not in the wrong ways. The ulama have given permission, you can have the Quran on your cell phone and you follow it also. But one ordinary person, we will say, he said that when Maulana stands up for Juma Bayan, and he's now giving his Bayan from his cell phone, and he reads his khutbah from the cell phone, which is permissible, But what message is he giving? That all of you can also use cell phone. What you are following, you know. And what others are going to follow, they know what they are. So you are giving a very wrong message in that also, which we have to be very careful. And on that cell phone, perhaps hopefully you haven't got on your cell phone dirt and filth on that cell phone. But it can be easily used any moment for dirt and filth also. If you're reading from a Quran Sharif, it's Quran Sharif and that's that. In that Quran Sharif now, no page of something else is going to come in there. It's just Quran Sharif. So that is what the original, that is the best. So anyway, with regard to the ears, let us not listen to any of the music, any backbiting, gossiping, and let us, when two people are talking, let us not go and try and listen to what they are saying. And we are pushing ourselves in, and we also want to listen. The ear is a great qudrat of Allah. Hearing is another separate great qudrat of Allah. It is a great, great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, great favor of Allah. It is an amanat of Allah Ta'ala. Let us learn to use it correctly, and we'll be doing ourselves a very great favor if we use our ears correctly. We listen, for example, students, or all of us, Allah give us tawfiq, listen to the dars of an ustad. And what points the ustad is speaking about there. Listen to a bayan, and in the bayan, listen to tarjuma of the Quran Sharif, tafsir of the Quran Sharif. We can use the ears for so many good things. Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness, and let this ear be a source that takes us to the pleasure of Allah and to the heights of Jannat. And on the other hand, not to the displeasure of Allah, and that it lands us into the fire of Jahannam. It is a ni'mat, let us use it correctly, and not make it a niqmat, a punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana.